Nadine sniffled.
I thought I'd at least have Michael. He laughed at me when I told him he'd claimed me. He just laughed. He never wanted to be with me again after that. Gotten what he wanted. I was no use to him after that. He moved on to other girls.
But if you were willing to... Dear spirits, why didn't you simply seduce Richard?
Because I was worried he might expect that and have his resistance built up for it. I wasn't the only girl he danced with. I was afraid he wouldn't want to commit, and that if I simply tried to seduce him, he might be ready for that and turn me down. I'd heard a rumor that Bess Prater tried that. It didn't seem to have worked for her. I was afraid it wouldn't be enough of a shove. I figured that jealousy would be the thing that pushed him off the fence. I figured my plan would take him by such surprise that he'd just lose his head with jealousy and lust, and then I'd have him. I've heard tell there's nothing more powerful in a man than jealousy and lust.
With both hands, Nadine pushed her hair back on her head.
I can't believe Richard told you. I didn't think he would ever tell anyone.
He didn't, Colin whispered. Richard only stared at me when I told him that you said he caught you kissing his brother. He didn't tell me the story.
You just did that all by yourself.
Nadine's face sank into her hands.
You may have grown up with Richard, but you didn't know him. Dear spirits, you didn't know the first thing about him.
It might have worked. You don't know as much as you think. Richard is just a boy from Heartland who never had anything and has had his head turned by fine things and people doing his bidding. That's why it might have worked, because he just wants what he sees. I was just trying to make him see what I have to offer.
Colin's head throbbed. She pinched the bridge of her nose as she shut her eyes.
Nadine, as the good spirits are my witness, you have got to be just about the stupidest woman I have ever met.
Nadine sprang up from the chair.
You think I'm so stupid? You love him. You want him.
She jabbed her finger at her own chest.
You know how it feels in here to want him. I wanted him no less than you. If you had to, you would do the same thing. Right now, as well as you know him, you'd do the same if you thought it was your only chance. Your only chance? Tell me you wouldn't.
Nadine,
Colin said in a calm voice,
you don't know the first thing about love. Love isn't about taking what you want. It's about wanting happiness for the one you love.
Nadine leaned in with a venomous expression.
You'd do the same as I did if you had to.
The words of the prophecy whispered through Colin's head. Lightning will find him on that path, for the one in white, his true beloved, will betray him.
You're wrong, Nadine. I wouldn't.
Not for anything in this world would I chance hurting Richard. Not for anything. I would live a life of lonely misery before I would hurt him. I would even let you have him before I would hurt him.
Chapter 17. A breathless, beaming Verdine lurched to a halt as Colin watched Nadine storm off down the hall.
Mother Confessor, Lord Rawl wants me to stay up all night and do work for him. Isn't that wonderful?
Colin's brow twitched.
If you say so, Verdine.
Grinning, Verdine ran on down the hall in the direction Nadine had gone. Richard was talking to a knot of soldiers just up the hall in the other direction. Beyond the soldiers, a ways further up the hall, Kara and Egan stood watching. When Richard saw Colin, he left the guards and came to meet her. When he was close enough, she twisted a fistful of his shirt and pulled him close.
Answer me one thing, Richard Rawl,
she hissed through gritted teeth.
What's that?
Richard asked in innocent bewilderment.
Why did you ever dance with that whore?
Colin, I've never heard you use such language. Richard glanced down the hall in the direction Nadine had gone. How did you get her to tell you?
I tricked her into it.
Richard smiled a sly smile. You told her that I told you the story, didn't you?
His smile widened when she nodded.
I've been a bad influence on you, he said.
Richard, I'm sorry I asked her to stay. I didn't know. If I ever get my hands on Shota, I'm going to strangle her. Forgive me for asking Nadine to stay.
Nothing to forgive. My emotions just got in the way of seeing that. You were right to ask her to stay.
Richard, are you sure?
Shota and the prophecy both mentioned the wind. Nadine plays some part in this. She has to stay for now. I'd better have her guarded so she doesn't leave.
We don't need guards. Nadine won't leave.
How can you be so sure?
Vultures don't give up.
They circle as long as they think there are bones to pick. Colin looked back down the empty hall.
She actually had the nerve to tell me that I would do what she had done if I had to.
I feel a bit sorry for Nadine. She has a lot of good in her, too, but I doubt she will ever truly experience love.
Colin felt the heat of him at her back. How could Michael do that to you? How could you ever have forgiven him?
He was my brother, Richard whispered. I would have forgiven anything he did against me. Someday I will stand before the good spirits. I didn't want to give them a reason to say I was no better. It was what he did to others that I couldn't forgive.
She put a comforting hand to his arm. I guess I see why you want me to go with you to meet Drefin. The spirits tested you with Michael. I think you will find Drefin a better brother. He may be a bit arrogant, but he's a healer. Besides, it would be hard to find two that wicked.
Nadine is a healer, too.
Not compared to Drefin. His talent borders on magic.
You think he wields magic?
I don't think so, but I have no way of telling.
I will know. If he does have magic, I will know.
Guards at their post near the Mother Confessor's room saluted after Richard gave them instructions. Colin walked close at his side as they moved on down the hall. Kara stood up straighter when Richard paused before her. Even Egan perked up expectantly. Colin thought Kara looked tired and miserable.
Kara,
Richard finally said, I'm going to see this healer who helped you. I hear he's another bastard son of Darkin Rawl like me. Why don't you come along? I wouldn't mind having a friend with me.
Kara's brow wrinkled together in near tears.
If you wish, Lord Rawl.
I wish. You too, Egan. Egan, I told the soldiers that you all are permitted to pass. Go get Reyna and Ulick and bring them along, too.
Right behind you, Lord Rawl,
Egan said with a rare smile.
Where did you ask Drefin to wait?
Colin asked.
I told the guards to take him to a guest room in the southeast wing.
The opposite end of the palace? Why all the way over there?
Richard gave her an unreadable look.
Because I wanted him to remain here under guard, and that's as far from your rooms as I could get him.
Kara was still wearing her red leather. She hadn't had time to change. The soldiers guarding the southeast wing of the Confessor's Palace saluted with fists to hearts and moved aside for Richard, Colin, Ulick, Egan, and Reyna in her brown leather, but they backed away an extra step for Kara. No Daharan wanted the attention of a moored Sith in red leather. After the brisk march across the palace, they all came to a halt before a simple door flanked by leather and muscles and steel. Richard absently lifted his sword and let it drop back, checking that it was clear in its scabbard.
I think he's more afraid than you,
Colin whispered up to him.
He's a healer. He said he came to help you.
He showed up to help on the same day as Nadine and Marlin. I don't believe in coincidence.
Colin recognized the look in his eyes. He was bleeding a lethal flux of magic from his sword without even touching it. Every inch of him, every ripple of hard muscle, every fluid movement bespoke the calm, coiling death. Without knocking, Richard threw open the door and stepped into the small, windowless room. Sparsely furnished with a bed, small table, and two simple wooden chairs, it was one of the more utilitarian guest rooms. To the side, the eyes of Nott in a plain pine wardrobe watched them. A small brick hearth provided a modicum of heat to the chill, scented air. Holding Richard's left arm from a half-step behind, knowing better than to get in the way of his sword, Colin stayed close. Ulick and Egan stepped to each side, their blonde hair nearly brushing the low ceiling. Kara and Reyna swept around them, screening Richard and Colin. Drefin knelt before the table against the far wall. Dozens of candles were set randomly about the table. At the sound of all the commotion, he rose smoothly to his feet and turned. His blue-eyed gaze took in Richard, as if no one else had entered the room with him. Each absorbed in silent thoughts she could only imagine, they appraised one another. And then Drefin went to his knees, putting his forehead to the floor.
Master Rawl, guide us. Master Rawl, teach us. Master Rawl, protect us. In your light we thrive, in your mercy we are sheltered, in your wisdom we are humbled. We live only to serve. Our lives are yours. Colin saw Richard's two huge bodyguards and both moored Sith almost drop reflexively to their knees to join in the devotion to the master of Dahara. She had seen countless Daharans in Aedendril give the devotion. She had stood at Richard's side when the Sisters of the Light had knelt and sworn fidelity to him. Richard had told her that at the People's Palace in Dahara, when Darkin Rawl had been there, everyone went to devotion squares twice a day, for 2 hours each time, and said those same words over and over while touching foreheads to the tiled floors. Drefun stood once more, assuming a relaxed, self-assured stance. He was dressed nobly in a ruffled white shirt open to mid-chest, high boots turned down just below his knees, and tight, dark trousers that displayed enough of the swell of his manhood that Colin could feel her cheeks flush. She forced her eyes to move. She could see at least 4 leather pouches attached to his wide leather belt, their flaps held closed with carved bone pins. Draped loosely over his shoulders was the simple flaxen cloak she had seen him in before. The same height and build as Richard, and with the handsome cast of Darkin Rawl's features, he cut a striking figure. His tumble-down blonde hair made his tanned face look all the better. Colin couldn't help staring at the flesh and blood twist of Richard and Darkin Rawl. Richard gestured toward all the candles. "What's this?" Drefun's blue-eyed gaze stayed locked on Richard. "I was praying, Lord Rawl, making my peace with the good spirits, should I be joining them this day?" There was no timidity in his voice. It was a simple, self-confident statement of fact. Richard's chest grew with a deep breath. He let it out. "Kara, you stay. Rayna, Ulic Egan, please wait outside." He glanced to them as they were leaving. "Me first." They returned grim nods. It was code. If Richard didn't come out of the room first, then Drefun died on his way out, a precaution Colin used herself. "I am Drefun, Lord Rawl, at your service should you find me worthy." He bowed his head to Colin. "Mother Confessor?" "What did you mean about joining the good spirits?" Richard asked. Drefun slid his hands into the opposite sleeves of the cloak. "There is a bit of a story to it, Lord Rawl. Take your hands out of your sleeves, and then tell me the story." Drefun pulled his hands out. "Sorry." He lifted his cloak back with a little finger to reveal the long, thin-bladed knife sheathed at his belt. He pulled the knife free with one finger and a thumb, flipped it in the air, and caught it by the point. "Forgive me. I meant to set it aside before your visit." Without turning, he tossed the knife over his shoulder. The knife stuck solidly in the wall. He bent, pulled a heavier knife from his boot, and tossed that over his shoulder with his other hand as he straightened, sticking it, too, in the wall, an inch from the first. He reached behind his back, under the cloak, and came out with a wickedly curved blade. Without looking, he stuck it, too, in the wall behind, between the 2 blades already there. "Any other weapons?" Richard asked in a businesslike manner. Drefun spread his arms. "My hands, Lord Rawl, and my knowledge." He continued to hold his hands out. "Though even my hands wouldn't be quick enough to defeat your magic, Lord Rawl. Please search my person to assure yourself that I am otherwise unarmed." Richard didn't act on the offer. "So, what's the story?" "I am the bastard son of Darkin Rawl."
"As am I," Richard said.
"Not exactly. You are the gifted heir of Darkin Rawl. A distinct difference, Lord Rawl."
"Gifted? Darkin Rawl raped my mother. I have often had reason to consider my magic a curse."
Drefun nodded deferentially.
"As you would have it, Lord Rawl. But Darkin Rawl didn't view offspring the way you seem to. To him there was his heir, and there were weeds. You are his heir. I am but one of his weeds."
Formalities associated with conception were irrelevant to the master of Dahara. Women were simply there to bring him pleasure and to grow his seed. Ones who conceived inferior fruits, those without the gift, were barren soil in his eyes. Even your mother, having produced his prized fruit, would have been no more important to him than the dirt in his most coveted orchard. Colin squeezed Richard's hand.
Kara told me much the same. She said that Doc and Rawl, that he eliminated those he found without the gift.
Richard stiffened. He killed my siblings?
Yes, Lord Rawl, Kara said. Not in a methodical fashion, but rather on whim or ill mood.
I don't know anything about his other children. I didn't even know he was my father until last autumn. How is it that you're alive? He asked Drefin.
My mother wasn't...
Drefin paused, searching for an inoffensive way to put it. She wasn't treated as unfortunately as your cherished mother, Lord Rawl. My mother was a woman of ambition and cupidity. She saw our father as a means to gain status. As I have heard it told, she was fair of face and figure, and was one of a few who was called to his bed repeatedly. Most were not. Apparently, she succeeded in cultivating his appetite for her charms. To put it bluntly, she was a talented whore. She hoped to be the one who bore him a gifted heir, so as to raise her status in his eyes to something more. She failed.
Drefin's cheeks mantled.
She had me. That may be a failure in her eyes, Richard said in a quiet tone, but not in the eyes of the good spirits. You are no less than I in their eyes. The corners of Drefin's mouth curled in a small smile.
Thank you, Lord Rawl. Very magnanimous of you to cede to the good spirits that which was always theirs. Not all men do. In your wisdom we are humbled, he quoted from the devotion.
Drefin was managing to be courteously respectful without being servile. He seemed honestly deferential, but without losing his air of nobility. Unlike the way he had been in the pit, he was scrupulously polite, but he nonetheless exuded the bearing of a Rawl. No amount of bowing could alter his aplomb. Like Richard, he carried himself with inherent authority.
So what happened then?
Drefin took a deep breath.
She took me, as an infant, to a wizard to have me tested for the gift, hoping to present Darken Rawl with the gifted heir that would bring her riches, station, and the fawning adoration of Darken Rawl.
Did I also mention that she was a fool? Richard didn't answer, and Drefin went on. The wizard broke the bad news to her. I was born without the gift. Instead of bearing a pass to a life of ease, she had given birth to a liability. Darken Rawl was known to pull the intestines out of such women, an inch at a time.
Obviously, Richard said, you managed not to draw his attention.
Why not?
My dear mother was responsible for that. She knew that she might be able to raise me and never be noticed by him, never be killed. But she also knew it would be a hard life of hiding and worry over every knock at the door. Instead, she took me, when I was but an infant, to a remote community of healers, hoping that they would raise me in anonymity so that my father would have no reason to come to know of me and kill me.
That must have been hard for her to do, Colin said. His piercing blue eyes turned on her. For her grief, she prescribed herself a potent cure, which was in turn provided by the healers.
Henbane.
Henbane, Richard said in a flat tone. Henbane is poison.
Yes. It acts quickly, but has the unfortunate quality of being exquisitely painful at its task.
These healers provided her with poison?
Richard asked incredulously. Drefin's raptor gaze, shadowed with admonition, returned to Richard.
The calling of a healer is to provide the remedy that is warranted. Sometimes the remedy is death.
That doesn't fit my definition of healer,
Richard said, returning the raptor gaze in kind. A person who is dying, with no hope of recovery and in great suffering, can be no better served than by the benevolent act of assisting them in ending their suffering.
Your mother wasn't dying with no hope of recovery. Had Darken Rawl found her, her suffering would have been profound, to say the least. I don't know how much you knew about our father, but he was known for his inventiveness at giving pain and making it last. She lived in shuddering fear of that fate. She was driven nearly insane with dread. She fell to tears at every shadow. The healers could do nothing to prevent that fate.
to protect her from Darkin Rawl. Had Darkin Rawl wanted to find her, he would have. Had she remained with the healers and being found, he would have slaughtered them all for hiding her. She gave up her life to give me the chance at one.
Colin started when a log in the fire popped. Drefn didn't start, nor did Richard.
I'm sorry, Richard whispered. My grandfather took his daughter, my mother, to Westland to hide her from Darkin Rawl. I guess that he, too, understood the danger she was in, the danger I was in.
Drefn shrugged.
Then we are much the same, you and I, exiles from our father. You, however, would not have been killed. Richard nodded to himself.
He tried to kill me.
Drefn's brow twitched with curiosity.
Really? He wanted a gifted heir, and then he tried to kill him?
He didn't know, as I didn't, that it was he who fathered me.
Richard turned the subject back to the matter at hand.
So what's this about you making peace with the good spirits in case you are to join them today?
The healers who raised me never kept me from the knowledge of who I was. I have known since I can remember that I was the bastard son of our master, of Father Rawl. I always knew that he could come at any moment and kill me. I prayed each night, thanking the good spirits for another day of life free from my father and what he would do to me.
Weren't the healers afraid that he would come and kill them, too, for hiding you?
Perhaps. They always discounted it. They said they were not in fear for themselves, that they could always say I was a babe abandoned to them, and they didn't know my paternity.
Must have been a hard life.
Drefn turned his back on them and seemed to stare into the candles for a time before he went on.
It was life, the only life I knew. But I do know that I was woefully tired of living each day in fear that he might come.
He's dead, Richard said. You no longer have to fear him.
That is why I'm here. When I felt the bond break, and it was later confirmed that he was dead, I decided that I would end my private terror. I'd been guarded since the moment I arrived. I knew I wasn't free to leave this room. I know the reputation of the guards you surround yourself with. That was all part of the chance I took to come here. I didn't know if the new Lord Rawl would want me eliminated too, but I decided to end the constant death sentence hanging over my head. I've come to offer my services to the Master of Dahara if he will have me, or if it is his will that my life be forfeit for my crime of birth. Either way, it will be over. I want it over.
Drefn, his eyes watering, turned to face Richard.
There you have it, Lord Rawl. Either forgive me or kill me. I don't know that I much care which anymore, but I beg you to end it, one way or the other.
His chest rose and fell with labored breaths. Richard appraised his half-brother in the dragging silence. Colin could only imagine what Richard must be thinking, at the emotions of those deliberations, at the painful shadows of the past and the light of hope for what might be. At last he held his hand out.
I'm Richard, Drefn. Welcome to the new Dahara, a Dahara that fights for freedom from terror. We fight that none have to live in fear as you have done.
The two men clasped wrists. Their big, powerful hands were the same size.
Thank you, Drefn whispered. Richard.
Chapter 18.
I heard that you saved Kara's life, Richard said. I want to thank you. It must have been hard knowing that she was one of my guards who might end up harming you if things didn't go right for you.
I'm a healer. It's what I do. Richard, I'm afraid I may have trouble calling you anything but Lord Rawl. For a time, anyway. I feel the bond to you as the Lord Rawl.
Richard shrugged self-consciously.
I'm still having trouble getting used to people calling me Lord Rawl.
He stroked a finger along his lower lip.
Do you know if we have any other half-brothers or sisters?
I'm sure we must.
Some must have survived. I've heard a rumor that we have a younger sister, at least.
Sister,
Richard grinned. Really? A sister? Where do you think she is? Do you know her name?
I'm sorry, Lord.
Richard. But all I know is the name, Lindy. The words passed on to me said that if she is still alive, she would be perhaps as much as 14 years. The person who told me her name said that all he knew was her first name, Lindy, and that she was born in Dahara, to the southwest of the People's Palace. Anything else?
I'm afraid not. You have now heard everything I know.
Juffin turned to Colin.
How are you feeling?
Did the herb woman, what was her name, stitch you up properly?
Yes,
Colin said.
Nadine did fine. It hurt some, and I have a headache, I guess from everything that's happened. I didn't sleep well last night with the ache of my shoulder, but that's to be expected. I'm fine.
He moved toward her, and before she knew it, he had her arm in his hand. He lifted it, twisted it, and pulled it, asking each time where it hurt. When he had satisfied himself, he moved around behind her and gripped her collarbone with his fingers while pressing his thumbs to the base of her neck. Pain shot up her spine. The room swam. He pressed under her arm and at the back of her shoulder.
There. How's that?
Colin rotated her arm, finding the pain greatly diminished.
Much better. Thank you.
Just be careful with it. I've numbed some of the pain, but it still must heal before you put it to heavy use.
Do you still have the headache?
Colin nodded. Let me see what I can do for that. He pulled her by the hand back toward the table and sat her in a chair. He towered over her, blocking her view of Richard. Druffin pulled her arms out toward himself, squeezing and manipulating the webs between her first fingers and thumbs. His hands made hers seem so small. He had hands like Richard, big and powerful, though less calloused. He was hurting her. He was pressing so hard, but she didn't voice a complaint, thinking he must know what he was doing. With him standing right in front of her, she had to turn her eyes up, lest she be forced to stare at his tight trousers. Colin watched his hands kneading hers, his fingers working over her flesh. She remembered his hand on Kara. She vividly recalled those strong fingers working their way down under Kara's red leather and between her legs, working into her. Colin abruptly jerked her hands away.
Thank you, that's much better, she lied.
He smiled down at her, with a penetrating, hawk-like, blue-eyed, raw gaze. I've never healed a headache so quickly. Are you sure it's better?
Yes, it was just a little headache. It's gone now. Thank you.
Glad to help, he said. He watched her for a long moment, the little smile still on his lips. Finally, he turned to Richard. I was told that you are to be wedded to the Mother Confessor here. You are a very different sort of Lord Rawl from our father. Darkenrawl would never have considered marriage for himself. Of course, he probably was never tempted into marriage by one so beautiful as your betrothed. May I offer my congratulations? When's the wedding?
Soon,
Colin interjected as she moved to Richard's side. That's right, Richard said. Soon. We don't know the exact date yet. We have a few things to work out. Look, Dreffen, I could use your help. We have a number of wounded men, and some of them are in grave condition. They were wounded by the same man who hurt Kara. I'd really appreciate it if you'd see what you could do to help them. Dreffen retrieved his knives, slipping them away without having to look at what he was doing.
That's what I'm here for. To help. He headed for the door. Richard caught his arm.
You'd better let me go first. Until I change the orders, you will die if you step out of a room before me. We don't want that. As Richard took Colin's arm and turned toward the door, she met Kara's eyes for an instant. Her hearing wasn't affected, Treffen had said. She could hear everything, even though she couldn't react. She had to have heard Colin warn him not to put his hand on her there again. She had to have known what Dreffen had been doing, but she had been unable to do anything to stop him. Colin's face heated at the memory. She turned and hugged Richard's waist as they went through the door. Richard looked up and down the quiet hall, and when he saw no one, he backed her to the paneled wall outside her rooms and pressed a kiss to her lips. She was glad that Dreffen had eased the pain in her arm earlier in the day.
It hardly hurt to circle both arms around Richard's neck. She moaned against his mouth. She was tired from the long day, and her arm did still hurt just a bit. But it wasn't weariness or discomfort that drove out the moan. It was longing. He drew her into his arms and turned so that he was leaning his back against the wall instead. His powerful arms crushed her to him, almost lifting her toes from the floor as his kiss became more insistent. She returned it in kind. She pulled his lower lip through her teeth and then backed away for a breath.
"I can't believe Nancy or one of her women isn't here, waiting for us," Richard said.
He had left their guards farther up the hall, around the corner. They were at last alone, a rare luxury. Even though she had grown up with people always around, she now found their constant presence wearing. There was great value in simply being alone.
Colin gave his lips a quick lick and a kiss.
"I don't think Nancy will be bothering us."
"Really?" Richard asked with a sly grin. "Why, Mother Confessor, who will protect your virtue?" Her lips brushed his.
"Dear spirits, no one, I pray." He surprised her with an abrupt change of topic.
"What do you think of Drefin?"
That was a question she was not prepared to answer.
"What do you think of him?"
"I'd like to have a brother I could trust and believe in. He's a healer. The surgeon was impressed with the way he helped some of those men.
He said that at least one of them will live only because of what Drefin did for him." Nadine was more than a little curious about some of the compounds he carries in the leather pouches at his belt. "I'd like to think that I have a brother who helps people. Nothing seems so noble as that."
"Do you think he has magic?"
"I didn't see any trace of it in his eyes. I'm sure I would have been able to tell. I can't explain how I can sense magic now, how I can see it sometimes sparkle in the air about a person or show in their eyes, but I didn't see any of that with Drefin. I think that he is simply a talented healer."
"I'm grateful that he saved Tara."
"At least he said he saved her. What if she had recovered on her own after Marlin was dead and her link with him was broken?"
Colin hadn't thought of that.
"So you don't trust him?"
"I don't know. I still don't believe in coincidence."
He sighed in frustration.
"Colin, I need you to be honest and not let me be blinded because he's my brother and I want to trust him. I haven't proven a very good judge of brothers. If you have any reason to doubt him, I want to hear about it."
"All right. That seems fair."
He tipped his head toward her. "For example, you can tell me why you lied to him."
Colin frowned.
"What do you mean?"
"About your headache being gone. I could see that he didn't make it any better. Why did you tell him that it was gone?"
Colin cupped a hand to the side of his face.
"I'd like you to have a brother you could be proud of, Richard, but I want it to be real. I guess what you said about coincidence has made me wary, that's all."
"Anything other than simply what I said about coincidence?"
"No. I hope he can bring a little brotherly love to your heart. I pray that it is nothing more than simple coincidence."
"Me too." She gave his arm an affectionate squeeze.
"I know he has the women on the staff all aflutter. I suspect he will soon be breaking hearts, what with all the swooning looks I've seen. I promise to let you know if he gives me reason to suspect something amiss."
"Thanks." He didn't smile at what she said about the women all liking Drefin. Richard had never displayed any jealousy. He didn't have reason to, even if she hadn't been a confessor. But still, there was a painful history with Michael that she realized could make reason less than relevant. She wished she hadn't mentioned it.
He ran his fingers back into her hair, holding the sides of her head as he kissed her. She pulled back.
"Why did you take Nadine with you this afternoon?"
"Who?"
He leaned toward her again. She pulled back.
"Nadine. Remember her, the woman in the tight dress?"
"Oh, that Nadine." She poked his ribs.
"So you noticed her dress?"
His brow drew together.
"Did you think there was something different about it today?"
"Oh, yes, there was something different about it. So, why did you take her with you?"
Because she's a healer. She's not an evil person. She has good qualities. I thought that as long as she was going to be here, she might as well make herself useful. I thought that that might make her feel better about herself. I had her check that the men were making the quench oak tea properly, that it was strong enough. She seemed happy to help.
Colin remembered Nadine's smile when Richard had asked her to go with him. She had been happy, all right, but not simply to help. The smile was for Richard, as was the dress.
So, Richard said, you think Drefin is handsome as all the other women do?
She thought his trousers were too tight. She pulled Richard into a kiss, hoping he wouldn't notice her face flushing and misunderstand the reason for it.
Who?
She breathed dreamily.
Drefin? Remember him? The man in the tight pants?
Sorry, I don't remember him,
she said as she kissed his neck, and she nearly didn't. She ached for Richard and nothing else. There was no room in her mind for Drefin. Almost the only thing in her thoughts was the time she had been with Richard in that strange place between worlds where they had been together, truly together, as never before or since. She wanted him that way again. She wanted him that way now. With the way his hands were slipping down her back and the urgency of his lips on her neck, she knew he wanted her the same way and just as badly. But she also knew that Richard didn't want to even appear to be like his father. He didn't want anyone to think she was no more than Darkin Rawl's women had been, an amusement for the master of Dahara. That was why he always let the women on the staff so easily keep him at bay. Despite his frustrated objections, he never overruled them when they shooed him away. The three Maud Sith, too, always seemed to be protecting Colin from being seen as less than the true betrothed to the master of Dahara. Whenever she and Richard thought to go to his room at night, even just to talk, either Kara or Verdeen or Reyna was always there, asking some pointed question that seemed to keep them apart. When Richard scowled, they reminded him that he had instructed them to protect the Mother Confessor. He never countermanded the orders. He was trying to rekindle their morals. He would be a hypocrite if virtue didn't apply to him. Today the three Maud Sith were scrupulously following his orders, and when he had told Kara and Reyna to guard him from around the corner and down the hall, they had remained there without objection. With their wedding so soon, Colin and Richard had decided to wait, even though they had already been together once. That time seemed somehow unreal, in a place between worlds, in a place with no heat, no cold, no source of light, no ground, and yet they could see, and they had lain in dark space firm enough to support them. More than anything, she remembered the feel of him. They had been the source of all heat, all light, all feeling, in that strange place between worlds where the good spirits had taken them. She was feeling that heat now, as she ran her hands over the muscles of his chest and stomach. She could hardly get her breath with the feel of his lips on her. She wanted his mouth everywhere on her. She wanted hers everywhere on him. She wanted him on the other side of her door. Richard, she whispered in his ear, please, stay with me tonight. His hands were making her lose all sense of restraint. Callan, I thought, please, Richard, I want you in my bed. I want you in me. He moaned helplessly at her words and at her hands.
I hope I'm not interrupting,
came a voice. Richard jerked up straight. Colin spun around. With the thick carpets, they hadn't heard Nadine's silent approach.
Nadine,
Colin said, catching her breath. What? Colin self-consciously clasped her hands behind her back, wondering if Nadine had seen where they had just been. She had to have seen where Richard's had been. Colin felt her face going red. Nadine's cool gaze moved from Richard to Colin.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just came to change your poultice and to apologize.
Apologize? Colin asked, still gulping air.
Yes, I said some things to you earlier, and I guess I was a bit out of sorts at the time. I thought I may have said some things I shouldn't have. I thought I should apologize.
That's all right,
Colin said. I understand how you felt at the time. Nadine lifted her bag and her eyebrows.
The poultice? My arm is fine for tonight. You could change the poultice for me tomorrow, though.
Colin sought to fill the dragging silence.
Dreffen did some of his healing on it earlier, so it's fine for tonight.
Sure.
She lowered her bag.
You two off to bed, then?
Nadine, Richard said in a restrained tone, thanks for checking on Colin. Good night. Nadine regarded him with a cold glower.
Don't even plan to get married first? Just going to throw her down on the bed and lay claim to her like some girl you came across in the woods? Seems a bit crude for the high and mighty Lord Rawl. And here you were pretending you were better than us common folk.
She glanced down at Richard and then turned her glare on Colin.
Like I said before, he wants what he's shown. Shota told me about you. I guess you know about what pushes men off the fence, too. It seems you would do anything to have him after all. Like I said before, you're no better than me.
Bag in hand, she turned and marched off down the hall. Colin and Richard stood in the uncomfortable silence, watching the empty hall.
Out of the mouths of whores, Colin said.
Richard wiped his hands back across his face. Maybe she has a point.
Maybe she does,
Colin admitted reluctantly.
This is the end of Side...